Bad Motivators.
Shit, yes.
What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 327 of the Bad Motivators. I, of course, am Eric Strathers. And with me, as always, is my excellent co-host, one Mr. Luke Cruiser.
Hey there.
Well, buddy. Lots of wild news today. Going to be kind of a Star Wars heavy episode. Go figure, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there might be another thing or two sneak in there. But yeah, for the most part, lots of Star Wars stuff happening up in here and not happening. So yeah.
Yeah.
Take that for what it is. But how's things, man?
Things are good. I had a wild, sweaty weekend, and not in a fun way. Lots of the annual demolishing of the forest that grows in my backyard. That was good times.
You shaved your butt?
Yeah. Well, I mean, somebody's got to at some point, right? You can't just be wild man all the time. I spent more time in the attic trying to, with my ongoing garage door opener saga, reinforcing things.
Oh my gosh, that's still a thing.
It's still a thing because I'm me, and I hate attics in the summer. So, by the way, I'm not sure who came up with the idea for blow-in insulation. I think we talked about this before, but and I understand why they came up with such a thing and the ease of it, all that stuff. But it's also the goddamn devil, blowing insulation, and I'm over it, and I hate it, and I'd like to make it never be a thing again. Okay, now you go.
All right. Well, listen, man. I mean, I'm busy with work right now. What are you gonna do? That's cool, though. Yeah, man. I've been streaming a ton. It's been real good. My kids are almost out of school.
Same
for the year, and that's neat, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are they doing this summer? Are they going? They going to a camp? They going to something? Or?
No.
They going to Camp Strathers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'll take him to Disneyland. Who knows what I'll do?
Oh, gonna get adventurous.
But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
So yeah. Well, listen. Before we dive into this, I want to throw something out there. Okay. I was getting ready to make some joke about us working on a ranch this summer because I was looking at my Arthur Morgan 1/6 scale Limb Toys, Hot Toys knockoff figure. Mm. Unlicensed, so he's really called the Gunslinger, but he's still, it's Arthur Morgan. And yeah. So the reason I bring that up, and now I can't remember why I brought it up.
Because you did a Patreon show about Western.
Oh, thank you. That you nailed it. Yes. Patreon.com/TheBadMotivators. I did a That's Metal episode called How the West Was Won. And it is all about Western music, Western genre music. And when I say Western, I mean like movies and TV shows and video games, obviously. Mm. But one of the interesting things about that, I'll throw this out there, should you want to listen to this, just go to patreon.com/TheBadMotivators. One of the things I kept doing when I was talking about the music is what it looks like.
Oh.
And I said, I guess I mean what it sounds like, but really,
yeah,
because of like my connection, the way my brain works with music, you know, people with perfect pitch will usually associate pitches with colors.
Yeah.
That's how they learn the pitch so perfectly is because to, you know, to them, like middle C is red or whatever. Yeah. And, but I'm like, this music sounds like the desert.
Yeah.
Because that was one of the things I asked is like, what came first? Was it that we've been conditioned that this is what cowboy music sounds like?
Mm-hmm.
Or does it just so adequately sonically describe that feeling that it was the perfect thing for the movies? And I really think it's that second one. I think that it was the music described it very well.
Yeah. I mean, it always sounds like desert wind. That's what I always imagine. The, if you go over, been on the desert, like at night or, you know, away from cities or towns, you just kind of walk around out there, like just the rustling of the, silent desert. You know, it's not really silent. There's this to it all. And it's that's what their music reminds me of, but you know, more pleasant sounding.
But yeah, it was a really fun episode, man. And naturally, you know, I talked about some of the music from Red Dead and Red Dead 2, but I talked a lot of Ennio Morricone, who did like the Clint Eastwood stuff, a lot of it, and some other stuff. And then I talked about some like semi-modern films that use music by Ennio Morricone and all this, because this is exactly fitting. And also the fact that basically every samurai and Western movie are just variations on a theme. But anyway, it was really cool.
Well, you know, that reminds me of something. Have you ever seen a Django Unchained?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm not sure if you talked about it on that episode or not. I'm sorry if you did. But Django, like, they did a great job of, you know, merging. I mean, obviously Quentin Tarantino being such a student of old Hollywood and all that stuff, right? Like he knew the music of the West and what the Western music could sound like. But he also would throw in like modern music in it, and it would like. And the first time I heard it, it threw me off like so much. It's like, what are you doing to this, Quentin Tarantino?
Right.
You know what I mean? But then like it became its own thing, you know? So they were able to modify it. But the Western music they had in it was so good that it made it all work. And that movie itself is like, it's one of my favorite movies. It just is. I've seen it so many times, and I love an amazing revenge story. It's like one of the best ones. And the way Jamie Foxx's character gets to just unleash hell on these fucking people is the best. And or Django, obviously. I like the way you die, boy. It's so good. But it's funny, like, you know, you think of the Clint Eastwood stuff, obviously, but I really, you have to admire somebody that who can bring that flavor, but put it their own new spin on it and still keep the spirit of it, you know? It's very, very good. And yeah, I love that movie.
Well, I don't know if you guys know this, but I love Red Dead Redemption 2. Mm-hmm. And you should check it out if you haven't. So anyway, let's talk. We're going to jump past video games for a minute. We'll be back. I want to talk about what is going on over there at Disney. Damn. And so here's the deal. All right. And I can't remember which I heard first. I think it was the Galactic Star Cruiser thing was what I heard first. So we'll start there.
Okay.
I get a text from my buddy Hawk, who loves to ruin things for me. He texted me, and when he was going to see, I think, Guardians of the Galaxy, he said, if Christopher Lloyd is in this, I won't text you. Great, Scott. I promise. It's like, you better not, butthole. So anyway, he texts me. He's like, the Galactic Star Cruiser is shutting down in September. And for good. It's being pulled into dry dock, and that's the end of that. And listen, we had heard there were problems and stuff like that, but it's, I guess, they couldn't figure out a way to make it financially viable. And to me... Was I planning on going anytime soon? No. But did the concept of going feel good? Yes.
Of course.
And now knowing that it's super not an option. So they talked about how they're actually trying to reschedule existing reservations that were out past that date. Mm-hmm. So obviously they had reservations, just I don't know how full they could get it. So let me ask you this. Let me preface all of this in this whole segment by saying that neither Cruiser nor I are amusement / real estate / entertainment experts.
Speak for
by
yourself.
Any means. Did you just say speak for yourself?
I'll have you know, sir. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. I'll speak for myself only. I'm the one on this show who isn't an idiot.
Okay.
There, I spoke for myself. No, listen. So I would have thought that they would do something with the pricing structure as a last-ditch effort to try to get people in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, we saw that there was, when rumors first hit, nobody's staying there, and they're begging people to come and they're giving these huge discounts. But what it actually was if you went to the Galactic Star Cruiser, you got a discount on any other Disney hotel that you stayed at on the same visit. So what would you have expected them to do, and what lengths they would have gone to try to like figure this out?
Well, I think the long and short of it is that they couldn't find a way to make it cheaper. Like the whole process. I mean, I remember when they first announced what the price was going to be, I said, well, it's good to know that I'm never going to try to go, because it's just...
Right. Yes, I do.
Because here's the truth, and I understand it's not meant for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. They're not making it of like, you know, they tried it. There's ways that you can make Disney World affordable is the wrong term, but like less painful, right? There's ways you can go about it.
So what you're saying when you say it's not for everybody, that Disney is a lot like Mona Lisa. And she's like, I don't F with porsies.
Mm-hmm. Essentially. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
What the seeing effing mother effing. Yeah.
Exactly. And I just,
how did I not know Diddy was on Instagram? Jagweeds. Who are you talking to? The Jagweeds. Sorry. I just saw that episode. Anyway, go on.
So not enough of the pores could get in to, this expensive, lavish thing. Mm-hmm. And while there are quite a few well-off people in this country who have money that they love to waste on Star Wars-related things, mm-hmm. I mean, Celebration, just going to Disney World itself to see Galaxy's Edge,
right? You
know, all these things. These are all lavish expenses, right? The truth is, those are all still way less lavish than two nights at this place. And it's just, and I think for a lot of people, including myself, the idea of having to stay in one place to not break the, you know, the illusion that you're in Star Wars, right, or whatever.
Yeah. Don't break character.
Yeah. That would wear off for me, even if I thought it was really cool, relatively quick. Mm-hmm. Because I would be like, okay, I want to leave. I'd like to get out of here, please. Yeah,
that'd be a thing. I do appreciate that.
And so I think if you were like our buddy Sal and other people who got to go, like he gets to go everywhere, obviously, but he got to go on there and stuff like that and try it out, being one of the first ones to do it would have been super cool. And like you have been all about it and whatever else. But having seen what they do, what it's about, and everything else, it never quite seemed worth it to me to pay what it probably would be, and it'd be like, what, like 10 grand for a family of five to go for a couple of days.
Right.
Like I just, eventually I mean that with the slight waning popularity of Star Wars and everything else, like if they had come out with this, if The Force Awakens came out, it might have been a little bit different. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure. Yeah. If they could have capitalized on this right after The Force Awakens.
Yeah. But
before Rian Johnson stepped in.
we're turning heel. That's what we're doing. We're turning heel now. Yeah. We realize the only way to be profitable in the Star Wars space is to continue to be a toxic piece of shit. That's what you gotta do.
Yeah. Because us being nice guys sure hasn't helped our listener base, you jerks. Of course, anybody who's not listening to the show anymore is not going to hear this, but whatever. I just want you people who are listening to this right now to understand that you are part of a very exclusive club of people. Very exclusive. It's so ultra VIP that even we're not allowed in there.
You had to bring a Parks and Rec.
But anyway,
I feel like it was never Star Wars has to be, if you're gonna make something Star Wars and you want really to be a niche thing, something that's already niche, even more niche, like it has to be more accessible. And the fact that it wasn't for everybody, eventually the people who could afford it weren't going to keep, they're not going to, you have to have return visitors and like,
right, some, yeah.
And they're just not going to do it after that. Have you experienced it? You experienced it. And I don't know, man. To me, I thought I'm actually surprised it lasted as long as it did, to be fair. And but it's also all part. It's just another victim of Bobby Iger's hack and slash. Let's save Disney, you know, policy that I got going on right now. You know.
Well, while we're on that subject, let's jump to this next thing. You know, mm-hmm. We got a list of stuff that they are cutting from Disney Plus and Hulu as a cost saving measure.
Mm.
Now, what I'm getting ready to say next does not make any sense to me. And it's not because I'm sure the decision was made by smart people. It's I don't understand how the mm-hmm. inner machinations of the powers that be,
mm-hmm.
how they figure out all this, the dollars and cents of it. But they're taking Willow, the series, the Disney Plus series, I might add, it's right there in the little tile. Disney Plus original. They're taking it off of Disney Plus.
Yeah. Weird.
And in like a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. No warning. And I find that I'm surprised. I don't know another way to put it. I am surprised that mm-hmm. that's what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm reading on this now. I'm looking at the SAG, you know, mm-hmm. you know, the whole thing about streaming residuals and stuff. And there's been updated things recently to, you know, combat streaming versus syndication, you know, things like that. So mm-hmm. they are still getting residuals and things from these things. So I guess if something's underperforming or not performing as high as they want it to be, then there could be something said for the cost saving nature of it all.
Right.
But it's just Willow is a, you know, Lucasfilm staple in a way. Mm-hmm. Right. And to take it off out of all the things you could cut just seems bizarre, especially after it literally just came out less than a year ago, right? Like,
yeah, six months ago is when it came out.
It's, you know, it wasn't my thing, but Willow never really has been my thing. And, you know, I watched part of the show. I thought it was my wife watched it and liked it, but I can see how it didn't really have like a rewatchability to it. But how far is that going to go? Like, I know there's what they're showing now, but like, there's no way they're going to take off Marvel and Star Wars stuff, right? Like that would be.
I would hope not, because like looking back, I saw somebody in response to all this had grabbed a snippet of an interview with somebody when they were getting ready to launch Disney Plus. And one of the things they were asking about is like, are things going to be rotated in and back out again? And they said, no. Everything is coming in and staying there.
Yeah.
And obviously with this, it's just such a surprise move. Now, listen, I am not like super dedicated to Willow. Okay. I haven't watched the series. I want to, and I will, but
maybe.
No, I recorded it.
Oh,
DVR'd that thing, man.
Suck that, Bobby.
Yeah. Take it. It's my legal right. This is American. Oh, geez.
You told me you wouldn't take it off, and you did. That's on you, not me.
There's a guy who, hang on, we'll cut to this for just a second, who took his Cal Kestis character and made him into the most Joe Dirt looking guy, and he narrates it. And he says...
You can do it.
My name is Calvin Kestis, and I'm here to make space great again, or something like that. And at the very last line of his whole thing is, the force will rise again. He's got like the handlebars, biker stash, and the whole thing. It's
the mullet just dripping back there.
Oh, it's quite good. I wonder how hard would it be. That would be a freaking chore, I think.
I haven't found the mullet yet.
You haven't? Where did I? I just unlocked it.
Yeah. Was it in a crate or what did you? Or did you buy it?
No, it was in a crate.
Yeah.
And I remember it seeing, you know, mullet. I said, no, thank you.
I had my fill of that in the 80s and early 90s. Thank you.
Yeah, it was quite the trip, man. I didn't know what to do with that, but you know,
I'm really unimpressed with the new age mullets because I've seen very few sidesteps involved. You know what I mean? Because back in my day, if you had a mullet, you had a sweet sidestep on the side of your hair, and just kind of upset that to make a comeback with it. You know?
Don't call it a comeback. It's been here for years.
But I've honestly kept my cow pretty, you know, tame. So I don't plan on putting him he's got a beard, but that's about as far as I've gone.
Yeah. I mean, he's got stubble.
Yeah.
That's what he looks like. He's got stubble and I'm just fine with that. I've got the shag haircut, real like wavy, big, thick hair, kind of long, falling down in his face. Nice. Super handsome kind of thing, you know?
No man bun for you?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, sir. Hang on real quick. Entertain the people. I need to check something real quick.
Oh, well, here we are. I want to say, though, about the cost-cutting, saving nature of all of this, what it says to me is that, like, it's once again Disney doing weird shit to save Disney's ass. You know, whenever they bought Star Wars and they immediately...
What? Are you still entertaining the people?
I was waiting.
And then, am I going to have to edit all... Now I'm going to have to edit it.
No way.
Here's the thing. Are you ready to hear it?
Uh-huh.
I figured out a way to loop it into my mixer and we'll be able to hear it. Here we go.
Play it out.
Here it comes.
It's Calvin Kestis, and I'm here to make the Jedi Order great again. Them Sith and Imperials are trying to take away our laser swords. It's my Force-given right to have as many blaster guns as I want. The Force runs in my veins, brother. I got kicked out of Space Walmart last week for yelling at the dang old droids that got in there. Some bitch is taking all our jobs. I'm a Jedi Knight, brother, through and through. Hashtag not my emperor. We gotta make pod racing an Olympic sport. They got them dang old Sith Lords now. I'll tell you what, brother. Just a bunch of abominations, if you ask me. We don't like their kind around here. The Force shall rise again.
There you go. You're welcome.
That's so good.
The fact that he calls him Calvin just brings it all home. And I forgot about the pod racing bit.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he doesn't
call himself Calvin Kestis Jr.
Oh, God, that would have been funny. Ugh. That was quite
good. Calvin Kestis Jr. the third.
Anyway, there it was. I'm glad to know I could make that happen on the fly.
That's it was completely on the fly.
I got kicked out of Space Walmart. Oh, God. Anyhow.
You know them droids in there.
Anyhow, thank you to my good friend, Luke Metz, for sending that to me.
Oh, that's that feels like a Metsy send.
Yeah,
that
definitely does. Feels like a Metsy send. Dude. What a good dude.
I want to ask you though. Once again, I'm sorry. Like Disney, right? You know, you've said a bunch. Disney is a business, and they love that money, right?
Right.
But
more money, more problems. I always say.
Right.
More money, more Kevlar vests that save lives is what I say.
And like your mama always says.
Oh, I'm not going to say that anymore. My mom said to quit saying it.
Yeah, I'm sure she listens.
She does every week. She's one of the four people that pop up in our stats.
But what is it? Like, I wonder what kind of analysis gets done to where they weigh brand strength versus customer loyalty, you know what I mean? When it comes to removing things or adding things or overdoing things in the way that they have done. You know what I mean? Like taking away shows, right? Or doing way too much with something when they first buy it to make as much money as they can as possible to the point where they were their own undoing with it by taking something that used to be an event and making it an every 3 month thing, which, you know, for us, we love because we love Star Wars and more of it. We're like, okay, well, at least 50% of it is bound to be good, whatever they come up with, right? But, and we've liked more than that, but you know what I mean? Like, if they keep pumping it out, eventually they're coming out with stuff that we like. There's enough talented people out there that make it work. But I think it's pretty telling with what's happening with Marvel, how after Endgame came out, how it's just been kind of this weird smattering of COVID movie nonsense that's come out. I know probably Guardians of the Galaxy is probably the exception to that because it kind of was bait at the tail in it, but also when we were coming out of it, you know. But like the Doctor Strange movie, the Thor movie, Black Panther 2 having to deal with the death of their main character and then like being made when it was made and everything else. Like it's all been incredibly underwhelming, at least in the public eye. You know what I mean? In the public sphere. Yeah.
And I'm glad you put that caveat in there because like I liked the Thor movie quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I didn't go see it in the theater and I've only watched it once, but I did like it quite a bit. I haven't seen Black Panther still.
I haven't either.
We did watch Ant-Man.
I've not seen that yet either. I wanted to. And my son started watching. I said, how dare you? I'm not ready to watch it. I want to watch it. You stop.
I really liked it.
Yeah.
That's my spoiler-free review. Okay. I really liked it.
Okay. So. And you really liked the new Guardians of the Galaxy.
I love the new Guardians.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm not saying I'm not looking forward to it, but like, you know, people say it's just Star Wars, but I don't think it is. I think it's an overall like Disney overreach of its franchises. And I feel like at one time it was really going for it and they were really just pumping as hard as they could. And they didn't really ever consider pumping the brakes at all because it was all gas and all cash. You know what I mean? And now it's just like, okay, we burned through all of this. And now we're kind of trying to figure out what that even means in the future.
Well, it's kind of like what the Empire does in the Star Wars galaxy. They come to a place, they take its natural resources as hard and fast as they can and leave it a shell of its former self as they move on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm. Which and then they remove properties and remove attractions because their overreach has made them... Because it's not that they're not making a bunch of money. It's not that they're not still doing well. It's that with every corporation, it's, okay, we need to continue to make what we made and then more each year.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, but you were making so much money that there had to be a decline. And so...
Yeah, I mean, because eventually there's going to be a plateau.
Yeah.
There has to be.
Yeah.
You know, it's like whenever they send up rockets to space... And they actually make it all the way up to the edge of what the firmament, right?
Yeah.
And those shit, spaceships can't go up any higher. That's because space isn't real. And so the gravity that isn't real brings them back down to Earth.
Yeah.
Why am I doing this? What is my deal with all these hillbilly
bits? It's a Calvin Kestis in you. It came out pretty hard right there.
That was a flat Earth joke for people who don't understand. Oh, God. Speaking of which, I saw something where they were talking about how the atomic bomb tests, you know, people always assume that like you drop a bomb on the ground. That's how atomic bombs work. Mm-hmm. And it's not. They detonate them in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what they did in Japan, and which that's horrific when you think about it. But the flat earthers will tell you that the government was doing that, detonating these atomic bombs up by the firmament, which is what covers the Earth and keeps the space from getting in, trying to blow through it with the bombs.
Mm.
Anyhow, that'll be enough out of you flat earthers.
Yeah, I don't think people realize that like the whole point of atomic bomb is to spread far and wide destruction, not necessarily to destroy the ground beneath it.
Well, listen,
it's more about carpet bombing the surface for a wide range.
If you, let's not talk about flat earth. Here's the deal. And if you're listening to this and you're a flat earther, I would love to know. Let's face it, that's all who's listening to this show by now.
Yeah, anyway.
I would love to know what led you down that path. And what genuinely is the reasoning that the big they, want to keep us in the dark?
Mm-hmm. You mean the lizard people?
Yeah. What do they gain? And it's always, it always comes back to the money. Will they give them tons of money for space exploration?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're spending that money. How did they have the foresight to get people like Galileo on board with this so long ago? How?
That's because time like space isn't real. Don't you?
I guess.
That's the next layer of this.
I guess. But anyway, I'm just curious because I'm going to tell you something. When I first heard about this, I assumed
it was a joke.
Naturally that it was a joke, that this was a gag, that people were doing it like the whole birds aren't real thing. Mm-hmm. My buddy Lucas is way into that just because he finds it amusing.
I'm like, he knows real. He kills lots of them every year.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he knows birds are real. But anyway. So you want me to drown the birds, right? Hi, my name's Harris. I'm 32 years young. I still live with my mom. God, I'm just Parks and Rec guy today.
Oh, I'm gonna kill them birds.
Yeah. What's this? Oh, you know how on the Flintstones when they made the work whistle out of that bird? We tried. It's hard. It didn't work.
I love those guys, man.
Anyway, I was quite disappointed.
Yeah.
In humanity when I heard about that.
Well, I mean, it's one of the many things. I mean, it's been going on since we were like, oh, the moon landing wasn't real, you know, all that good stuff. So.
Oh, well, that's true.
Obviously.
Anyway, yeah. So,
Disney overreach constantly and put out too much, and then like, oh my God, why is it not always amazing and great and sunny shines and rainbows like it's a Disney World every day? Because it's not real world, and you have to tamper expectations. On a sad note though, like you told me before we got on here that Ray Stevenson died, who's like the the main seems to be the main bad guy in the new Ahsoka series, the Darth Vader like esque, you know,
orange lightsaber wielding. Yeah.
I mean, he had a Darth Vader scene, and they showed us in the it was like, okay, this was a New Hope 2.0. But yeah, he died. That was, I love that actor. He's been in so many things that I really enjoyed his character in. I mean, he was great in Thor. He was great in The Other Guys. Did you ever see The Other Guys?
Mm-hmm. Per your recommendation.
Yeah, I fucking love that movie so much. But
it was quite good. Okay, yeah. I'll freely admit it.
Yeah, he was. He had that great quick little monologue about how there's only like two things that he like loves in this world. I forget what one of them was like puppies or kittens or something like that. And the two small dimples at the bottom of a woman's back. Something like that. and Will Ferrell was like, lovely features.
There's something about those two when they get together.
Yeah.
That's just magic. So yeah. I know I've talked about it before, but the movie Daddy's Home.
Yeah.
Right? Where Will Ferrell is married to Mark Wahlberg's ex.
Yeah.
And so now he's Mark Wahlberg's kid's stepdad.
Yeah.
Well, Mark Wahlberg's married to some young thing, and they have a kid, and then they split up, and now that girl's his kid's stepdad is John Cena. He shows up in this big, huge 4x4 like monster truck and gets out, and he's, you know, jacked and huge compared to Mark Wahlberg. It's quite good. Mm-hmm. But the second movie focuses around that.
Yeah.
And he's there, and there's the scene that I've talked about on this show and featured the song in a Patreon episode, but it was when they sang, "Do They Know It's Christmas?"
Yeah.
And Will Ferrell sang it in this movie theater. They were all stuck in this movie theater during a blizzard.
Yeah.
And the guy's name's Roger. It's John Cena. And he plays that scene so well. And the only reason I'm bringing it up is because I actually thought about it today for some reason, and I don't know why. Because he's like, "It's Christmas time. There's no need to be afraid, Roger." And he whispers it to him. He goes, "This is my favorite song. You don't even know." John Cena. So good. Anyhow, sorry. Tangent there.
No. It's cool. But that is really sad. There was no there was no reason to given for why he died. You know, I'm sure it'll come out eventually, but it's not really important. The fact is that he's gone. That sucks. You know, his role in Ahsoka beside it doesn't really fucking matter, but you know, it is always weird and strange when something's made by somebody who, you know, and then released, somebody who passed before it was released and then, mm-hmm. you know, shown after.
Yeah, that is very tough. And I didn't mean to make light of that.
No, I understand what the tangent brain does for sure. But I always, like, he was always like one of my favorite, like, I would say like side character roles that he always had. He's always kind of like a great, like, he's a big, tall, dominating presence, you know, and he's got a real, real, you know, deep voice and thick, you know, and he's just so good to as a counterpart to a movie. And I believe at one point he played, the Punisher. And that movie didn't do really well, but I think it's kind of like it's become like its own kind of like cult classic version of the character because it's such a violent take on it. Like it's like a full fledged, like mm-hmm. comic violent murder Punisher take.
I think I saw that movie.
Yeah. And like, I never saw it, but,
I think that's the one because I remember there was a chase scene in the jungle, basically. Mm. And one of the vehicles was when it did the thing where it flips over.
Yeah.
When it did, you could plainly see the cable attached to it when it did it. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, it wasn't a high-budget Punisher movie. But, you know.
They actually had to kill those people because they couldn't afford the effects.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you try to make it somehow. So, hey, if you make it, you make a lot of money. But that sucks. I am looking forward to his role in that show. But I don't know. I was just kind of surprised. Like I know it's like, you know, people die every day, you know, but like it's just you just don't quite it's always weird when it's celebrities for some reason cuz they're like in your vision all the time, you know.
Right.
But yeah, that's sad. RIP Ray Stevenson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, man, but I believe he's like I believe he was Irish. I think that's what he was, an Irishman.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Quick, real thick accent when he spoke.
So, well, speaking of thick accent, actually, before we get there, I was going to bring up Jedi Survivor.
Okay,
but before we get there, let's really quick talk about Fortnite and the ending of their Star Wars. Update, whatever you want to call it. It ends tonight, right?
Yes, the 23rd. Yeah.
Yeah. So, because it ends like the crack of dawn on the 23rd.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
I think so.
Yeah. So, how did that go for you, man? How'd you make out?
I did get Darth Maul. I did manage to get my son Darth Maul as well. That was our goal. He got most of it, you know, on his own, but. There was a worry that we wouldn't be able to, because like, you know, my son's a smart kid and he would be getting the challenges done just by playing the game. He wasn't like, you know, going, looking at the quest and, you know, whatever. And like, I got tired of like having to look behind me like, okay, now like, you know, what's on the list? I can't see what's on your list.
Right.
You gotta tell me. He's like, I'm like, all right. And then so I got like the last like six or seven ones he needed like for him. Like I just played like two solo matches, busted him out, got him Darth Maul. Day saved, you know, and so now we both got Darth Maul. By the way, I gotta say, and I sent you. I sent you a clip, and after I sent you the clip, I realized that like for some reason it didn't send the sound. I don't know why, but I had. I said, "There's something. There's nothing more metal yet, painfully ironic than Darth Maul playing Master of Puppets."
What would be cool is if you could get four Darth Mauls.
Yes.
Doing the thing.
Well,
huh. Interesting.
We need to get, well, I mean, we can get me, you, and Max. We just need one more just so we can record it.
Yep. That would be pretty dope.
Yeah. But I mean, but the character skin looks so good too, Darth Maul. It's straight the original one, Ray. I'm forgetting his freaking last name. I was blanking on what's his last name?
Ray Park.
Yeah, Ray Park. For some reason, Park wasn't in my brain. Yeah, the original Ray Park, you know, character. And it looks really good. I got his little, you know, his little droid, you know, backpack. Mm-hmm. But I had to take it off. It just didn't feel right on his back. I had to go all bareback on that because it just looked weird. But he's a great looking skin. Too bad. Whenever you get his lightsaber thing, it's not the dual lightsaber, but
yeah, that would be dope.
Yeah.
So I also got Darth Maul, did the whole bit. The only quest from the Star Wars quest that I have hanging out there, incomplete, good Lord, is I'm one step away from being a flat earther talking like that. I'm gonna start saying scene instead of saw. That'll be my next thing. The dub, the Victory Royale, the ever elusive Victory Royale. I came close quite a few times, but just couldn't seal the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many overpowered weapons in the game right now. Yeah. Between the lightsabers, the stupid samurai sword, mm-hmm. the heavy sniper rifle, and everybody gets them anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all over the place.
The heavy sniper rifle, I take issue with.
Oh.
And here's why. Anything that can kill you with one shot when you're completely full of health, shields, and overshields from a distance to where you cannot see the person,
mm-hmm.
unless you just happen to glance and catch that super bright reflection of the scope.
They've added that, right? That wasn't always a thing, right?
It's been there for a while, but it didn't used to be, I don't think.
Yeah.
But it's been there for at least a couple, 3 months.
Okay.
But, yeah. Mm. The out of nowhere, you get shot and you're dead. One shot. I don't think any weapon should be that powerful in the game. I mean, yeah. I get it if it takes in, knocks you almost dead. Mm-hmm. But one shot from unseen, that's tough to stomach. And especially when you get these butthole campers who just sit up at the top of some big tower. And
that island was a mistake. That floating island is a mistake because that happens a lot up there. People will go, as soon as it forms, they'll go up there and get the weapons or they'll have their purple sniper rifle up there or whatever. And it just rain down on you. It happens a lot to me. And I, you know, whatever, they're like, whatever, old man, get good. Okay, fine, fair. But like, there's only so much hopping around you can do to avoid a sniper shot. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And because I've hit many a dudes hopping around with a sniper shot headshot, plenty of them. I mean, when you and I played last week, that happened several times. I'm like, I always cackle, you know, cacking laugh like a moron when it happens. Like, gotcha. But you know, but that ruins the whole game for somebody. It's just like, it's just done. Mm-hmm. Their game's done, you know?
Well, yeah, it's the one shot thing.
Yeah.
And from an unseen vantage point. That's the, and it's the unseen part that gets me.
Yeah.
Because it's, there's no defense.
Yeah. And it's also, and it's not like the bullet like drops off or anything. It's like, if they're standing still, like a couple hundred meters away or further, if you just train right on them, it's a straight shot. It's just dead. Mm-hmm. You know, there is no like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Let's talk about something that also has its moments of meanness and unfairness, and that's Jedi Survivor.
Yeah.
So I'm a pretty decent way into the story. And I just want to let everybody know that Cruiser and I have both been streaming.
Yeah.
All right. I have a YouTube channel or a Twitch channel, twitch.tv/mouserat2217. Cruiser has a YouTube channel all to himself called The Bad Motivators. Go figure, right? I mean, I don't know where he came up with that idea, but listen, I have decided, at least unofficially, that I am going to stream all of my gameplay, because so far I have. There's no sitting down for a quick 10 minutes of running around. I'm going to stream it all. And I'm trying to stay story focused, or at least some kind of action focused, rather than just putz around trying to solve puzzles and whatnot. I mean, sometimes there is a bit of that. But it's been really fun, okay? Yeah. I've had fun with people engaging on the stream, like a lot of the regs come in, like my buddy Hawk, Lucas dropped in, Shinobi's in there, Aaron Boyd and his lovely girlfriend.
No.
And yeah, the list goes on, man. It's been really, really cool. Ash drops in almost every time I stream, my buddy Adam. It's really a good time. And everybody, Rick, the door technician, Villanueva, coming in to make fun of me. And I mean, he's merciless.
Yeah.
I said, if ever I start getting a big head, all I got to do is get on here and get Rick and Lucas together to just cut me down and put me back in my old man place. Because they do, right? But listen, my whole thing is, I'm further in the game than Cruiser is, so I don't want to spoil any of it for him. But I was in this boss fight that had me so mad the other night. And I foolishly stayed up until, no, I'm going to stay in this until I beat this thing. And finally, 3:30 something in the morning, I'm like, got him. I was so happy. So happy. And yeah, it was rough because Shinobi was there. Pretty sure he stayed the whole distance. But there was a point where I had the health bar down to nothing. And it was kill or be killed. And unfortunately, it was be killed. But everything about that game, I'm like addicted to it.
Yeah.
Okay. I think about it when I'm not playing it. And I think about the story. I think about the mechanics. I think about the visuals. I think about all of it. It's very, very good.
Yeah.
How are you finding the game still?
I ditto on the thinking about it, wanting to play it, But I've streamed all of my gameplay too. I don't have the interaction like you do. Our buddy Corey Poe pops in every once in a while. He's been popping in more often. That's great if that happens, and if it doesn't, but I just wanted up there on our feed. That's what I wanted up there for. And it's been getting some watches like after the fact and stuff like that, and that's cool. And I also want to be able to.
Whose feed do you want that on?
Huh?
Did you say our feed?
Technically our feed. Technically.
Yeah, technically, let's put quotes around that too. Anyway, go on. I'm just kidding. Corey stopped in on my stream too once or twice, I think.
Yeah, and he keeps popping in. He's not as far along as either one of us. And I'm like, he came in during that really cool part we were talking about before the show involving a massive drill. I won't go any more than that, but like. About how he came in right as that was happening. He goes, now this is pod racing. Because it definitely had that vibe for sure. But I was talking about, have you been to this party yet? He goes, no, this is all spoiler territory for me. I'm like, I don't know why you're doing that to yourself, but right on for being here, buddy. And because, you know, honestly, like, you know, I watched you play a little bit, but I've also, like, once you start, like, what if you're playing, it doesn't bug me, but whenever you get into, like, the cutscenes and things like that, then I'm like, okay, I gotta back out.
Right,
like,
yeah, because you want to experience it firsthand. I get it. I totally get it.
And, you know, and that's cool. And I think, you know, I know I have stuff that Eric sent me that I need to cut and compile and, like, put out there. But I'm kind of glad that I haven't yet, because there was a certain, we'll call him, what's his name? I call him the Frog. What's his name?
Spawn of Ogdo.
Yes. AKA the bane of Eric's existence for about 5 hours, it seems. I happened on that same area as Eric way earlier than I probably should have been there. Just exploring the main home base planet. I always forget its name. Kobo. I was just exploring Kobo and I was looking for some stuff and the next hairstyle or whatever you find. Going, looking around, and I happened along that base, and I got on a very familiar walkway that I seen Eric traverse over several times to go to the pit to fight the giant frog man. And I remember, like, oh, this is the area. This is the spot. And I said, I saw what Eric did. He pulled those guys down and then he went down there, and, like, and I could see how the first time you go in there, you're like, oh, look, there's a trinket on the ground, and it opens up and you're in the pit, you know? And, but I was like, nope, I know what happens here. So let me pull these guys down preemptively. Let me jump into this pit afterwards. And I did Eric's tactic to bring down those two giant guys to fight them for you, to wear them down a little bit. And, you know, but when I did it, I don't know if you call it a glitch or just a happenstance of, like, how the character was positioned. But one of the big guys you bring down to fight them defeated the giant frog for me on the first try that I tried this maneuver of Eric's. Like, I was in and out of that area in 10 minutes. Eric was there for a long time. But it was funny because I was so, like, cackling with laughter and, like, just being like, oh my God, Eric's gonna be so pissed that this happened. I can't believe this has happened. And I'm even playing on like the level higher than Eric. I'm like, I can't believe I did this the first try. And then I almost died by the hammer guy because I'm like, I'm not really paying attention to him. And he turns himself. So I'm like, oh shit. So I had to, like, go all, I ran out of stems. I had to go, like, real, like, defensive and, like, be really time eye by parries and everything else to defeat him, because he almost beat me. And that would have been it would have been even better if I had died and then went through the same experience of you trying to over and over and over again.
Well, once Ogdo's dead,
yeah,
he's dead.
Yeah.
So yeah, he would have stayed dead. You wouldn't have had to redo it again.
Oh, okay. I was trying to fight the guys. I wanted to do the whole thing like you did. Yeah.
So listen, when I was playing the night that I stayed up super late to get to this boss.
Yeah.
I talked last week about this stupid force challenge thing that you get pulled into with all
there's two of them, right?
With all this jumping. No, not that. So there's this one, it's after you get this special power, some ability where you can, like, jump and then hit a button to dash forward with the force, and it'll let you get through these green shields, okay? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, there's one of those things you go to, and it's this crazy, crazy jump challenge.
Yeah.
That sucks. It is bull crap. We talked about it last week, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, yeah.
There is an in-game jump puzzle challenge that you have to do to get to this boss fight I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That is egregious how hard it is. And, you know, one of the things, and Shinobi, man, saved my skin on this. So typically the camera follows you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, one of the things you can do on this, you're on a cylinder and the thing's spinning and you have to stay on it because it will spin onto a spot you can't hold on to anymore and drop you and you die.
Yeah.
Right thumbstick all the way hard left moves the camera to where it, you're walking toward it the whole time.
Okay.
That's the key.
Yeah.
That's the key to getting the jumps right, because it is freaking bull crap is what that, it is.
That's crazy.
And once you finally get past that, there's all these enemies you have to kill. And there's no meditation point in between. So should you die, you got to do that whole thing again.
Woof.
And man, it was bullcrap. But let me just say this.
Yeah.
As far as the game goes, I love it. The story's great. The characters are great. There's so much to do and so much to see. There's so many layers to it that I would think to like properly 100% it, I don't know how many hours it will take, but you could spend forever exploring in this game.
It's very cool.
There is an Easter egg hidden deep in this place, and it is findable by accident on your own. But not really. Mm. A developer leaked it so that people would find it.
Mm.
There's no other way to find. You won't find it organically. Do you want me to tell you about it?
Sure.
Yeah. Here's what it is. You are on this platform that's kind of difficult to get to. And the only there's a lantern sitting on this table in this like little alcove that's so dark you can't see anything, even with your lightsaber up. You walk forward, you can't see it. You just have to walk to the right spot and suddenly you're in a crevice that you're navigating sideways. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It is a 2-minute walk.
Wow.
Stick forward, you just keep going and you keep going and you keep going and you keep going.
And it's dark, you can't see?
Yeah. BD doesn't turn his light on.
So like it makes so like it's like you start like it's like something where like you're walking but you're not actually moving, you're like stuck in the space or something. It's like you feel
there's just enough like right in front of your chin you can see that the wall is moving past.
Okay,
but yeah, and you just keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going, and it took forever. But you get into this room, and it's these battle droids, and they are it's like an art class.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, it's like they're all statues, like an art exhibit. I don't know if they just died that way or what. But they're drawing one of those brown wampa things that's on there. And it's posed like the draw me like one of your French girls from Titanic. And these three battle droids have drawn varying decent renditions of this thing sitting there. Mm-hmm. And one of them is like all stick figures and stuff. And it's so stupid. But it was so worth it. I saw it and I was like, I cannot believe this is a thing. It is like you're unprepared for how ridiculous it is. I am going to send you a picture right now.
Nice.
Here it comes. Let's see, which is the good one? This one's pretty good. You may have to zoom in on it. Let me get another look here. Yeah, this one shows you everything you need to know.
Okay.
Let me edit it and lighten it up a little bit. There we go.
That's good enough.
Yeah, here it comes.
All right.
But I mean, you know, it's stuff like that, dude. That's they're going the distance. They're doing the thing.
There's tons
we don't deserve of detail. A game this great.
It's very, very good. That is everything dead? Is that creature dead?
Yeah, nothing moves in there. It's just like it's frozen in time.
That's crazy. Is there any kind of trinket in there or something worth it going in there? No, nope. Nothing.
Nothing just, to pick up.
Just no, a feast nothing. For the eyes, huh?
Yep, just hooray, I saw this.
I don't know if, and you were talking about bullcrap earlier. I don't know if you've experienced much of this playing the Xbox version, but there's been moments where there's two things that happened to me recently. One was almost a game breaking thing that happened to me.
Oh yeah, what's that?
Well, you know that section we're talking about where you get that power you're talking about where you go through the green walls.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you're when you're in that, when you first walk to that area, right, you go to the right and there's like those buildings that are standing there and like you got to climb up to where all that windy area is and all that stuff, like the very beginning of that stage. You know what I'm talking about? Where like the wind's blowing you. Uh-huh. And you pull up those blocks that like make quote unquote music they sing. there's a moment at the very beginning at the bottom where there's these huts, and to the left is where you come out at the very end of all of that, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I jumped up there at one point just because I hadn't been up there yet. I was exploring it before I went forward. And because I was kind of stuck because I didn't see a jump up point where you had to go to grab a ledge and get up. And I was like confused. So I went over there and something happened and where that green wall wasn't there at the very end. Mm-hmm. So I walked through it and I hit the very last meditation spot. And then when I came out of it, it was like, he's like talking to Marin. It's like, he's like, how'd you learn how to do that? You know, or something like, and she's like, oh, I learned that, but she's not anywhere to be seen. She's nowhere.
Oh.
And I'm like, and like, you just see like these like giant statues at the end of that whole thing you're doing.
Uh-huh.
And they're just, I'm like, and I try to go forward and I couldn't go forward. I was like, what the hell happened? And then I turn around and I realize there's a green wall there. I'm like, well, how did I get through here? Did I learn a power? And then this warning comes up on the game and it says, hey, looks like something broke. Why don't you let us load you to the previous unbroken spot. That way you don't miss any story elements, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh, okay. But it keeps loading me to that exact same spot where I just came in. Huh. So then I would do a fast travel to the nearest other one to get out of mm-hmm. there. Right. But the next couple of times I'd load in, like I start the game, I like progress further, but every once in a while that warning would come up. I was like, I better not miss out on like some story element or like some special skill I'm supposed to get, because I would have to like restart the game because I'm not doing multiple saves of it. I'm just kind of like this, you know what I mean? And I was starting to get pissed off. And then because I hadn't gone through the whole thing because I did a shorter stream. So I came back and when I loaded back up again, it gave me that same message. It was like, let us load you into a previously unbroken spot. So therefore you don't miss these story elements. And it put me inside that cave where that green thing is. And it had erased everything I had done after that. So I had gone through the whole wind area. I had gone do all those crazy jumps where you got to pull those blocks in and out, all that stuff. I'd almost gotten to that temple where you're going, mm-hmm. and all that was gone, and I had to go do it all again. Luckily, it's about an hour's worth of progress. It just erased from my thing. I was pretty fucking pissed, and so I go through the whole thing, beat it, and I save at the same spot again. I got both the powers you get while you're in there. And then I never got that message again. But I thought for sure I had missed out on something. And it was nerve-wracking the entire time. Because by that point, you've gone through not half the game or anything, but a large portion of the game. You know what I mean? Quite a chunk of time, several streams worth of time. And I was like, man, if I have to restart this game because I missed on something, I'm so pissed. I'm like sending emails. You got to fix this. There's no way I can get that. You got to send me the power or something because I don't want it. But also what's been happening is on that base that you and I were talking about before this, the battle station.
Uh-huh.
There's been multiple fights where all of a sudden the bad guy gets these incredibly long, jagged lines going across it, like blurring the entire screen. And so I'm like fighting something that I can't quite see. And they're not like easy, like battle droids or anything. They're like things that like have multiple stages and you have to like break their armor multiple times, like everything else. And it's happened to me a few times. But I think what it was I had there was a certain outfit that Cal I had on where he had like, I think it was a cape or he had like something tied around his waist or something that kind of flapped in the wind.
Mm-hmm.
And once I took that off, because I was noticing that would happen with him sometimes when you'd load in, his little cape would go like all kinds of weird and jaggedy. When I took that off of him, it didn't happen anymore.
Huh.
It's like some weird glitch within that outfit he was wearing was causing some of these bad guys to go like crazy jagged lines. So there's a few little bugs in it, but it's kind of like it's kind of par for the course, it seems, with this franchise. Like, yeah. That's how it was the first one too. But the game's so enjoyable, you fight your way through it.
Yeah, it's just, it's a minor annoyance at that point.
Yeah.
So when I was streaming the other day, I had this happen where I'm in a building, like mm-hmm. an old deserted factory looking place. And I am on this, like hanging on this ledge right behind this guy whose back is to me. Mm-hmm. And I get up there, and depending on what weapon you're using and how you do it, like there was one that was pretty horrific. You come up and you stab him, and he drops, and he's lunging for his dropped weapon in his last breaths, which I was like, dang, Whoa. That was pretty dark. But another time you come up and you like basically slice him open, you put your arms around him and give him the old slice across the midsection, and he falls. But sometimes, you know, it will glitch where part of his arm is like now glitched into the floor by accident.
Yeah.
And so they'll start spasming.
Yeah.
And flip, like he was folded back like he scorpion, yeah. but in reverse.
Yeah.
And was like, it was exorcist level stuff, man. And I was like, yeah. I couldn't quit looking until finally he shook enough, he fell off the body. Oh, yeesh, dude. That was not cool.
You know, those, this is a typical one that happens in games. You know those compasses that you find?
Mm-hmm.
There's a cutscene where Cal's like picking one of them up and he's like talking to the other Jedi about it or whatever. And like it's like he's like holding it, but it's like below his hand. And he's like walking
forward.
And he slams on the table and it like pops out the top of his hand, like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I love those. You'll get that in Red Dead sometimes where, yeah. like, you pull up and there's this wagon just hovering in the air. Yeah. Like, I don't remember wagons being able to do that, but what do I know?
Right. Maybe it's a Doc Brown wagon, you know?
Great, Scott. So, anyway, yeah, man, I'm enjoying the game. I'm looking forward to many more hours of enjoyment with it.
For sure.
So, but... Well, I don't feel like we've forgotten anything.
No, this week. Disney doing Disney things, Star Wars games ruling, especially this one. This game, I think, alone has saved or helped rebuild the trust in Star Wars games. This one, because this, and we obviously want more games like this because this is the enjoyable part of Star Wars games, where you can have a full and rich story, fully developed characters, and the gameplay is what you want it to be, which is Jedi's whipping ass. So,
and so I'm pretty sure it will be EA's last game under the exclusivity contract.
Yeah.
And there's some rumors floating around out there about Ubisoft's game, their open world Star Wars game, that we might get it earlier than we ever dreamt possible.
I kind of hope not, because I don't want it to be another broken game.
Yeah, I can see where, yeah. That's one thing I can say about playing on the Xbox, man, is it's been pretty resilient. And Randy on the Sith List said last week that he said watching my stream is like the quality of it's better than anything he's seen on his PC.
Mm.
He said because he's, you know, had these problems here and there with random glitchiness and stuff. King Tom has had a lot of trouble with it, and he was finally able to get into a spot because the game just like kept crashing on him. So
I wonder if his system's not quite up to snuff on it.
I don't know. But well, listen, guys, I mentioned this before, but if you'd like to hear more of this, but not this. It's other stuff. Mm-hmm. Check out patreon.com/thebadmotivators. Okay. Mm-hmm. You can check out TeePublic and Redbubble for some sweet, sweet merch that you should get because you'll be envy of all your friends and the talk of the town. Mm-hmm. And don't forget to check the show description for links to Cruiser and myself doing streaming stuff. Mm-hmm. If that floats your boat. And what? Yeah, I guess I did just call a man beautiful. Mm. You know, I guess I'm open-minded as hell. I think you're pretty good looking. I got the melody wrong of that. He says, good looking. No, that's not the what. No, I can't remember what note he ends on. But it's very good riff he sings.
Oh, yeah.
Anyhow. Hooey up, daddy. It's an Elma Fudd one. God, I love John Ralphio. So anyhow, guys, what I was saying was
pills, there's nothing baby. Less
to say except this. Pills, baby. Sweet, man. Well, hey, I think Taylor Swift is awesome. And until next week, we are out of here.
Goodbye.
The Bad Motivators.